Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 155. It is the week of May 20th, 2012. Thanks for coming along. And boy, it's been 3 weeks since the last show, and there's many reasons for that. One, I haven't been doing any running, so I haven't really had too much to talk about. Back when I did the graveyard back in March, just totally wiped me out. And then the month after that was the Ashland Railroad Run and getting all that squared away. And then in between there, I celebrated another birthday and went camping, and then just got back from a kind of fraternity college reunion trip down the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and just been very busy with many different things. Like I said, I did take a little bit of a break off from running. However, I have gotten back. I did a big 4 miler yesterday. So starting to feel the magic come back a little bit. I got in about 10 and a half miles this past week. Just doing a couple little runs. I think when I started back, which was actually on May 10th, is the first day I started back. I just ran 2 miles with my wife just to see what it would feel like. Everything was fine, and then I did a couple 3 milers this past week. I did 2 of those. So I kind of just mixed it up a little bit, and just want to make sure everything's working right, and there weren't any injuries or anything from the ultra. And I kind of needed a break from running, and my wife, it's interesting that she commented that she said, "Well, I don't see how you just can't go do any exercise at all." She said that would drive me crazy. I said, "Well, I guess I don't really exercise just to exercise. I run. It's kind of like a means to an end, I guess, for me. I mean, I guess if I don't have anything to train for, I don't see the point in going out and going for a run." I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense, but that's just kind of how I look at it, I guess, in some ways. And I haven't really missed it that much either. I think I did gain a little bit of weight just from sitting around so much. We did some other stuff. We've done a bunch of yard work, and got the yard looking good with the house, and spring coming through and all that, and been spreading lots of mulch and just making things look good, so that way when I sit around in my backyard and look, it looks nice. So I've been doing lots of different things other than running. However, Baltimore is on October 13th, and this weekend I ran into spent the weekend with several fraternity brothers of mine from college from over 20 years ago. We have a trip every year. It's always the same weekend, Preakness weekend. And we watched the horse race. We actually used to go to the Preakness every year at Pimlico in Baltimore, but it just got to be a little crazy with all the Utes. So anyway, ran with Lummox yesterday, and he's the guy I'll be running the Ultra with, or the Baltimore Marathon with. And there's also a fellow that lives across the street from my friend Lummox, whose name is, Jim LeClaire, and he has been helping Jim. He's an ultra marathoner himself. I have not met him yet, but apparently I think all three of us are actually going to run the marathon together. So that should be a lot of fun. It'll be my second time at Baltimore, and very excited about that. It's put on by Under Armour, and the company does a great job. There's no doubt about that. So that's coming up October 13th. Before then will be, of course, the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which is always the weekend before Labor Day. I think this will be the 6th year, and I've run each of those, so I definitely plan to be out there for that, slogging through the humidity of Central Virginia. That's a little bit where I'm at right now. I'm just kind of taking some baby steps, getting back into it. I do not have any ultra marathons on the horizon at all. I think I'm going to back off of that right now, because I've done several. I did 100K, and I think before I do another 100K, I think I want to do 2 more 50s. But that's going to obviously take some time, because I don't have any plans to do one this year, and it costs money to get to these things, and because I'd prefer to run you know, for example, the like I wouldn't mind doing the Keys race again because it's on the road. It's just, it just costs too much to go down there. And I'd kind of like to be I'd like to be involved with the Graveyard again next year. I don't know. I'm starting to go off on a tangent. And the main reason for getting the podcast back out was to go through the email bag section of the show, which got some old emails. I don't know what the dates are on them, but there'll be plenty of stuff to talk about going through these emails. Now, I got one from Les, and he knows Dr. Smitty. And I had asked Dr. Smitty to put me in touch with Les because Les had apparently painted the bottom of his feet when he did a 50K in an attempt to avoid blistering. Now, he said he did paint the bottom of his feet when they did the 50K. I'm not sure which one they did. But he said that was not a good thing to do. He said when the race was over, he took his shoes and socks off and all the paint had been sweated off. And he thought that his problem was his socks, and he used Wright socks for many years. That's Wright. He said he never had a blister until that company changed something in the way they made them, and then blam, he got a big blister when he ran the Outer Banks Marathon. And he had another friend who was going through the same thing with Wright socks, and so he started using Adidas socks, and the problem was gone. He said whenever he runs long in races, he puts Vaseline on his feet and between his toes and all as well. He said something about the Adidas socks make them stick to the bottom. For some reason, his feet don't slide around in the shoes. So, and the reason I bring that up is because I suffer from blistering, not at the marathon distance, but beyond it. And I think the reason I want to just kind of stay to marathons right now is, frankly, I'm just tired of the blistering and having to do shoe and sock change. I don't have to do that during the marathon. And I'm looking forward to doing it with Lummox. Because there are very few things in life that can match being present when somebody runs their first marathon. And you were there all along the way. And I got an opportunity to do that a couple years ago when I ran the Shamrock Marathon with our Ashland group, which was Meriwether and Bob, when they ran their first, Ashland Bob, when they ran their first marathon. I got to be right there with them all along the way. But what I plan to do with my friend Lummox is we're probably going to do a video documentary of his first marathon, of course, since I've got that little small camera that takes some really good pictures. And I'll probably do some podcasts as well. And then I'll plan to interview him probably for the podcast, so everybody who listens to this show can kind of get an idea of who he is. Got another email from Jamie, and she recommended I check out this guy, Dr. Cookzella. He's a 237 marathoner. He's the founder of naturalrunning.com, he's part of his team is a Dr. Ray McClanahan, who's a podiatrist and a sports medicine doctor, and she recommended checking out that website for cure of the blister problems. And Jamie, I really appreciate that, and I need to mark that so I do that. I know these emails are old, but I've been keeping them, but I'm going to actually mark hers again to make sure I go out and check out that website. Because, you know, maybe there is a magic cure out there, you know? Maybe there is. Maybe that's not to run those distances. Let's see. Also heard, here's the next one here. I heard from Alex Flores. He was actually doing the Keys race, and he said he found the show about a month ago, listened to many of the past episodes, and he just completed his third ultra several weeks back. He's run four. He DNF'd at the last one, and he really likes the podcast based on my perspective on running and life, and he wants the DVD now, so I think I sent that out to him already, and I want to repeat this. If anyone out there is waiting on the DVD and you've requested it and you haven't gotten it yet, send me another email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. The reason for that is because I think I misplaced an email when I was wrapping things up for the Ashland Railroad Run. So much stuff was done through email, and frankly, I just got lost in the Railroad Run emails and podcast emails, which I try to keep in different folders, but if you try to do that yourself, sometimes it is kind of hard. So I think I've misplaced one, and if you don't know what the DVD is, the DVD is the Graveyard 100 DVD that I made of my experience running the 100K. And I've said before, I can see why serial killers like to keep trophies, because I like having videos of my marathons. So if you want one of those, all I request is a donation to a local charity that we have, and that's, of course, on the honor system. And what I do is, if you send me your address, then I send you the DVD, and then I send you the address on where you can make the donation if you would like to do that. I don't check behind you or anything like that. And the DVD is pretty cool. It's about a half hour long, and you can kind of see my crew. So a good time. A lot of it's in the dark, though. Not the screen is dark, but you know, most of the race was an overnight race. Started at 3 p.m. And I've said that before, so I don't want to beat a dead horse there. But anyway, that's Alex, and I emailed him back, and he's actually got a blog. It's runninglifeandlivingthedream.blogspot.com. And I had asked him how he found the podcast. He said he just found it by browsing iTunes, and he liked the style of the show immediately, found it to be genuine, and felt like he could relate. And, you know, that's just really nice to hear. And I don't seek out the feedback or the compliments, but when I get them, man, that is cool, because the podcast is a lot of fun to do. It's just so damn time-consuming, you know, be frank. If it didn't take so long, I'd probably be able to have an episode out every week. And, but you know, I always keep, my goal is to try to get one out every 2 to 3 weeks, I guess. And hopefully I won't lose too many listeners that way. But anyway, Alex has run the Noble Canyon 50K in California, the Coldwater Rumble 50K in Arizona, the Grandpa Jim's 50K in Arizona, and that was a DNF. And then most recently he ran the Cedro Peak Ultra 45 in New Mexico. And he wanted to run a 50 mile this year, but he might have to wait until next year. And anyway, thanks a lot, Alex. It'll be nice to hopefully hear back from you. And I think you might have been the one that was going to do I thought you were going to do the Keys. I can't remember. I can't remember if that was you or not, but I know you said you run in the heat. And I need to make a point to check that your blog again. Also heard from Tim, Abuelo Runs. This is Tim. And he has had to... He was going to have a Choo-Choo Loco. He lives down in the Chattanooga area of Tennessee, and he was going to manage a race down there. But he had to defer, I think, because he got hurt. He fell on March 1st and broke his right collarbone and a rib, and so hadn't done any running. And anyway, he also liked my interview with when Dirt Dog interviewed me on his podcast about the Graveyard 100, and if you haven't checked that out, make sure you go over to Dirt Dog's podcast. You can just search that, and you'll find it, and I don't know what episode it was, but I thought Mike did a real good job on that, and I sent Tim a DVD also. He's hoping that he was able to get back running by the end of March, and looks like he's looking to host the Choo Choo Loco this fall, and he wanted to know if I plan on filming future races. But, you know, I guess it kind of has to be a situation where I feel motivated to do that, because sometimes you get in a dark hole and you don't feel like doing any of the video. But the payoff is much later on, is that way you can kind of relive where you were in those races. And I think it helps me for future success to see that I've been in you know, in dark places and able to get out. So yeah, I kind of like, I don't do a whole lot of video, and I do some videotaping of my daughter with some stuff she does with swimming. But frankly, I kind of just do the running videos, I guess. I'm not really sure. And I've liked doing them for other people. I did one for Rodney when he went down to Pine Mountain, Georgia, and did the 50 miler down there with the North Face Endurance Challenge. I did a documentary of him, which, you know, caught him coming in every aid station, went out on the trail, got lots of good footage out there. Just kind of a little bit of a side hobby with the running to kind of combine the two things. And I do it all with a handheld camera. I don't have a real expensive camera. Matter of fact, it's, I'll tell you what type it is. It's just a small Canon. I can't even read it. Getting too old. It's a Canon Digital IXUS B215. And it's, It's smaller than a deck of cards, and it really does. Even on a bit when he put it on the computer and then transferred to the big screen when he brought a DVD, it turns out really good. Heard from Richard out of the Woodlands, and he got the DVD also. He said it was like to watch. He said it really gives a good appreciation of what it was like, and he wants. Okay, Richard, I can't remember if I sent you the information on where to send the contribution. What I'll do is I'll make a note and I'll send you an email with that address. And he also liked the interview when I was interviewed with Dirt Dog, and he had to pull out of the Texas Independence Relay at the last minute because he had a death on his wife's side of the family. So Richard, I was very sorry to hear about that. But he had a friend who was able to step in, so the team wasn't impacted. And if you don't know what the Texas Independence Relay is, make sure you go check that out on a website. That is, it's an out. Well, you got to check out the website. The website is pretty cool. I think I checked it out a couple years ago, Richard, when you first told me about it. And I know that's something that you like to do. Also heard from Rolly, and Rolly's the one that was going to do the keys race. Rolly says he listened to the latest podcast on the way to work and was glad to be part of the mailbag. And he had no idea that I had two friends that ran the Palm 100. So Rolly was apparently volunteering at the finish line until about 10 p.m. And they did come in after that, Rolly. Matter of fact, my friend Rodney was the last person to cross the finish line. And they have a special name for that, and it's DFL. And it doesn't stand for dead freaking last either. He came in DFL, man. But at least he finished. And he said he got a hat with flaps for the keys. Let's see. Yeah, he's not. Okay, I remember now. He and I were exchanging some emails about running in Florida and what I did for when I did the keys race. And I just shared with him that I did run with long sleeves at one point in time. And I guess that probably has already taken place. So, Rolly, I wonder how you did. I guess that was probably last weekend. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. But hopefully you did well. So if you have time, drop me a line at ashlanddave@gmail.com and let me know how things worked out because I'm very curious to know how you did that. Also heard from Greg, and unfortunately Greg wasn't able to make it to the railroad run this year. He just had too much going on, and he had recently finished a marathon in 3:43, and I said it really kicked his ass. And I can't remember which one he did. I think he went down to Arizona. He said it was one of the, no, not Arizona, Arkansas. It was the country's top 10 toughest road marathons. His legs were trashed, like 40 mile per hour winds and a tornado warning during the race. So yeah, I guess you were happy. You were just happy to survive, Greg. He got third in his age group, so outstanding. And I hope to hook up with Greg later this summer when he heads up to Lake Anna, which is in Louisa County. He puts his boat in up there, and I managed to meet up with him. And this is kind of cool because he and I have become friends just from the podcast. He started listening to the podcast several years ago, and I think one year he decided to come up and do the railroad run, and I think we went out to lunch after that and just kind of got to know each other. I went down there when he ran his when he was attempting the 40 miles when he turned 40. I think he got 40K out of it because it was like 120 degrees outside down in Chesapeake, Virginia. And then he's come up for the Patrick Henry Marathon. Matter of fact, he and his son stayed at our house last year. So Greg's become a good friend, and Greg, as always, appreciate you listening to the podcast. Heard from Neil, and I'm trying to get Neil on the show for an interview. Neil swept a 50K race several weeks back. I think it was Oak Mountain, was that what it was? And he wasn't able to get in the race because it got full. However, he was offered the chance to be the sweeper, and he said, and I'm going to interview him about it. We're just trying to find the time because he lives over in England now. He said the sweeping was a great experience. It was a fantastic way to meet people. When they see you with the flag in your hand, everyone wants to talk to you, and they were really friendly. As part of the sweeping, he actually covered the distance in 9 hours and 11 minutes, which was a long day. He had a real slow last 13 miles because he was running behind a 66-year-old who kept just beating the cutoff times. Also, he said it was a great course. Organizers were really nice people, and they're going to let him run the race next year for free, and he's exempt from the sign-up deadlines. and he really did enjoy that. He's spent some time in Florida, and then let's see, he was getting back to England. He actually lives in England. I think he was just traveling through. So yeah, we're gonna. Okay, he also asked, I was curious if you do Chinese at Easter like you do at Christmas. No, we usually do a little bit more. That's kind of I can't remember what that joke was, but yeah, it turns out on Christmas Day, we actually went to a Chinese restaurant and it was closed. So I can't remember which podcast that was in, but I remember making a joke about that. But Neil, yes, we are going to hook up on that interview, and what I'll do is I have to come up with some questions, and then we're going to find time. I was out of town again this weekend. And like you said, the only time we can do it is really on the weekend. So we'll get that done. Just save your thoughts on that experience, and because I definitely want to get you on the show. All right, let's see here. I got a couple more. I heard from Justice, and Justice found the podcast when looking at the Graveyard Race reports. He paced a friend for the last 50 miles of the 100 milers down there, and he listened to the two shows where I talked about the race, and then he wanted to offer up some thoughts and advice from his experience at Graveyard and running in general. So I'm going to share some of these. He says, one, his feet get hot spots about 15 miles in. He has problem areas, mainly the outside of his heel and the ball of his foot. So that being said, he thought he had figured out the right combination, but apparently did not work down at Graveyard. Those large dunes right after the had sand blowing everywhere, and he thinks that was probably what the culprit was with him, was the sand that got down in the shoes. Now, I brought gaiters down there, and I don't know why I did not put them on. I had them, you know, and maybe it would have helped, but I tell you one thing, if I ever do that race again, I'm definitely going to wear them. And I'll probably even tape around the top of my ankles just to make sure that nothing gets down in there. Justice also suggested ponying up $25 and get the real good Drymax socks. He said they're worth every penny. And he uses the normal Drymax for normal runs, but if he's going to be on his feet more than 3 or 4 hours, he just goes to the expensive ones, and he thinks they make a pretty noticeable difference. In reference to tape, he's tried duct tape in the past with little luck. He's been working with this Kinesio Tex Gold Tape, and he said he can buy it at Zombie Runner. He's kind of been experimenting with that. So I might have to check into that. And overall, he said, good job at Graveyard. It's a very hard race. And he said people underestimate the pounding flat pavement that puts on your body. He said after 50 miles, he was way more sore than he would have been if he had done a 50-mile trail or a mountain race. And also seeing the lighthouse lights in the distance was brutal because, yeah, he just kept going on and on and on and on. And that lighthouse never seemed to get any closer, and it was just mentally messed up, but it was a hell of a challenge. So, Justice, thanks for the email, and hopefully you still listen to the show. Hopefully you listen to more than just one, and thanks for the advice, man. I always like to see how other people are doing it. Let's see, heard from Tom, Master Competitor, and he listened to the podcast after the and thanked for the shout out. And yes, it was the Oak Mountain, and Tom did that when he got lost in the woods at Oak Mountain, and he said maybe he met the guy who's going to be the guest. He said he talked to the sweep guy on the course the first time he got lost, then he went into the 14-mile aid station, was supposed to get back to that station at 26, but he was back at 20. He said he emailed the promoter. He said it was a nice vibe on the race, but they need better course marking, and he said there were at least 3 points on the course, and one was completely unmarked. He had no idea where to go. So, Neil, when I interview you, if you're listening to the show, let's make sure we hit on that, because Tom does lots of ultras, and I'm pretty sure he would have found his way around down there had that been marked. So I was just kind of curious what your perspective was, and if maybe you've met him while you're down, that'd be pretty cool. I also heard from David McRunner, and he said outstanding finish on the Graveyard. And he was out on a guy's retreat that weekend in the mountains with his two son-in-laws, but he was getting the tweets to keep up the updates. He said he listened to both podcasts about the race, which were good, and also listened to the Dirt Dog interview. David has done 4 50-milers. He has not done the 100K distance yet. He's going to sign up for a 24-hour run in Oklahoma this fall, see how many miles he can get in. And recently finished his 35th marathon, which was the Davy Crockett Bear Chase Marathon. He's a small but fun event with several marathon maniacs in the group. And he's maniac number 1822. So well done, David. And my maniac number is 1319. And I think I need to pay my fee. But yeah, man, those small races sometimes are I found them because I've done, you know, not, you know, like huge marathons. I've done, you know, marathons with thousands of people. And then I've done smaller events. And I'll tell you, these small events sometimes are more fun. I don't know. I don't really know. It's just a different environment. And, you know, the same nice people are there. And so I've, you know, I look to those unique events a little bit more than I have in the past. And it just kind of opens up a whole different environment of stuff to think about. Plus, you always meet interesting people. And David also said that the two most podcasts he listens to are mine and Dirt Dog. So, David, I really do appreciate that. And those are the emails for this show. If you want to send me an email, it's ashlanddave@gmail.com. I do my best to respond to each one, especially after a listener said I never responded to his. Sometimes, you know, I'm human. I misplace stuff. I don't intentionally ignore anybody unless, of course, it's an insult. You know, if somebody emails me with insults, I'm not going to obviously respond. But if you have any questions about the show, you know, send in some comments, or even if you just want to comment on something that was went over in the podcast, please do. Pretty excited about being back into running. Matter of fact, I might even go out for a run this afternoon. I haven't quite decided yet. I just feel like it might be fun to kind of get out there. It's kind of windy today, and sometimes it's fun to run in the wind. It's about 80 degrees, but when there's a breeze and it's windy, to me it makes the heat a little bit more bearable. Or a little bit more bearable. So yeah, I'm back, and also I wanted to congratulate Ashlyn Tom's wife Jill, who ran the Potts Marathon up in Pennsylvania and ran 3:51 unofficially. Got the text on that, so that's really cool. She's been working real hard, and I think she's broken 4 hours two or three times now, which is something I would love to do, but I just can't run fast enough. Our goal in Baltimore is to come inside 5 hours. It's a first-time marathon for my friend Lummix, and I think that is a perfectly reasonable time goal. And so I'm actually going to follow a beginner program and just add some stuff here and there, because if really all I just need to do is finish inside 5 hours, there's really no need to kill myself training. You know, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully the weather will be good. And best thing about running Baltimore is I have my lodging taken care of. I can stay at his house in Annapolis, and we can just drive over. All right, well, that's the podcast this week. Upcoming episodes include Private Citizen USA, which is something I still want to ramble on about. And then I want to do the interview with Neil. And so, yeah, we got material for the next couple, you know, from some more shows, and I'll have another one out in a couple weeks. So if you want the DVD, make sure you email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's the DVD of the Graveyard 100. It's pretty decent. You can play it in your DVD player, and it's pretty decent. What can I say? And yeah, just send me an email with your address if you're interested in that. And this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week. Thank you.